don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Crypto Economy Quick Read. What is up, crew? Welcome back to the Crypto Economy Podcast. I'm gonna hit one today. This one's a little bit odd in the sense of reading it straight through, because a lot of this piece is a collection of links. So I'm gonna read this one more conversationally. I'm gonna be interjecting my points and just kind of be talking about this one as we go through it. But it is by Pierre Richard. And it's called Understanding the Technical Side of Bitcoin. Now, a couple of comments, just a couple things to go over before we jump into this, is first, I have not been actually watching my donation address lately and didn't even think about it because it'd been a while since I had a donation, so it's just kind of slipped my mind. And I've been using my Casa node without actually looking at transactions that have come in. And I've gotten, like, I think two or three donations recently that I have not mentioned on the show. And that is because I did not know about them until just now. So thank you guys so much for whoever donated. Also for helping me. I've now actually got enough to do another 0.01 Bitcoin Lightning channel. So because of you guys, I'm going to have myself another channel opened up on my node. That is exciting. And thank you very much. Sorry for not being on top of that. Next, we've got, I just crossed 2,000 followers today. That happened this morning. So awesome. Thank you guys for sharing this and helping me get this show out there. That's another huge milestone here. And I am right around the corner. I'm at 99,100 downloads, and with usually getting about 300 per episode plus around like 500 in total with all the recent episodes per day, it's looking like maybe today, probably tomorrow or Friday, we might be crossing 100,000. So the fact that those two things are happening right around the same time is really, really exciting. So those are some pretty major steps here in the show. 100,000 downloads is a big deal, so I'm really excited about that. And thank you everyone who has stuck with me and listened to all the stuff that I've been putting out. And I still have many, many things in the works. In fact, yesterday I did not get an episode out yesterday. And the reason is I kind of had a rough day yesterday. Just, I think I have put way too much on my plate. I have spread myself really, really thin, so I'm trying to narrow. A lot of my writing has been pushed to the side. I hadn't written anything in like 2 weeks because I've got too many plans and too many things that I want to do, and I think it's time to cut all the fat and say, okay, these are the three things I want to keep up, particularly because I'm going to have hopefully we'll be having a job soon, a full-time job soon, that will be taking a lot of time away from this, and I don't want this to fall away. So I think I'm going to be changing a lot of things with the show. Not the show in general, but like I'm going to be hosting it. I believe I've decided to move to anchor.fm. I think I'm going to move from DigitalOcean to Namecheap for my hosting on the website, and I think I'm going to use a different template and platform for building and making the website work. So I wish I had found all of these solutions earlier, because they both would have saved me a lot of money and a ton of time and frustration. But now we have... sometimes it takes 4 months to find a solution, and it's better to just go ahead and start getting things out. So I don't know how much work it's going to be to switch all of this stuff over to entirely new hosting and platforms and completely redesigning the website, because I don't quite like the look of it right now. It's a little too busy for me. I'm more of a fan of the minimalist type thing, and it's also incredibly difficult to find anything on the website. I'm having my hard time finding stuff, so I know everybody else is if you're looking for something. So that's where we are with all of that. A lot of major milestones on the actual show and my Twitter followers, which is huge, great news, but then a ton of work in the background that I'm letting not go to fruition here because I'm busying myself up too much. And there's a project that I've been working on that I really want to see. I really want to see actually posted out there because I think it's going to be a huge, huge help for a lot of people. I know I would absolutely, I would be over myself to have this available to me. And so I'm trying to learn it and do it on my own and get it out for people. But it's a huge, huge project, and I may have bit off more than I can chew. But today's episode is about exactly that. Pierre Richard's article is Understanding the Technical Side of Bitcoin. So that's it for our little introduction of all the stuff we got going on. Oh, and if you want to see my setup, by the way, I posted a video on Twitter that people seem to find funny. But I've got my my sound fort, which somebody noted that the heat is a problem. Yes, it is. My sound fort is always very hot. I am already hot. I have to flap the sides of my sound fort quite a bit to get the air to circulate in here. So if you want to know what my sound fort and my setup looks like in here, go to my Twitter page and check that out. I've got it posted on my page right now. It's a video. So without further ado, I'm not going to go into any more stuff right now. We will talk a lot about this at the end. And again, I'm going to be interjecting a lot during this one because it's going to be kind of conversational. But let's go ahead and jump into Pierre Richard's Understanding the Technical Side of Bitcoin. I recently received this interesting Twitter direct message. Quote, listened to your first Tales from the Crypt podcast and fully agreed that it's going to be critical to have computer experience for both Bitcoin and the future in general. What's your recommended path for understanding the technical side of Bitcoin? I come from a finance background with significant exposure to Austrian economics and anarcho-capitalism, but have literally no experience with comp sci and coding. Thanks, Nick. End quote. I see a number of different skill sets in that question. For each of these suggestions, there's probably a lot you already know, information that you can just skim, and information that you just need to know that you don't know. I promise you this, you will never learn everything there is to know about computers. Never. The current state-of-the-art computing is massive in scope. The history of computing has decades of interweaved complexity, and there is new software and hardware being released every day. You can't know it all. That's what keeps this field interesting. That said, you absolutely can learn enough to achieve your goals, whether it's just reasonably securing private keys, sending payments, and receiving over Bitcoin Lightning, or to build a fully fledged Bitcoin Lightning web application. Excerpt. If you have suggestions to improve this guide or any questions about any of this, feel free to DM me on Twitter at Pierre_Richard or email me pierre@richard.org. Thank you. Computer literacy. Read an overview of different computer hardware components, the physical objects that you will be accessing. www.explainingcomputers.com/hardware. Okay, so this link for understanding or explaining computers.com /hardware is a really great place to kind of this whole page is just an overview of kind of the techno babble that you constantly come across in computers. And honestly, even somebody who is pretty seasoned in this might still get a couple of tidbits about like there are probably some gold nuggets of, you know, maybe some little specific thing, like what's the real operating difference between a 32-bit and 64-bit operating system? Like, what does it mean exactly for performance and that kind of thing? And then like RAM limitations, your graphic software, what's your processor speed, and what it means to have multiple cores versus higher speeds, all that kind of stuff, like your cache, what's your cache even used for, your graphic system, hard drive speed and type, your RPMs, what's the difference there in your connection, your type of connection that you have with your hard drives. Tons and tons of stuff like that, and it's a pretty decent overview of all those main pieces of the hardware puzzle. And it's not a super long read. I've skimmed it. I probably spent, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes just going over see what they had exactly in this, and it looks pretty thorough despite the fact that it's not actually very long. So if you're looking for a good solid introduction into hardware and getting an overview of all those elements that you see constantly and exactly what they mean and how they affect the computer that, you know, you're either purchasing or the hardware components that you're getting for your computer, definitely check that out. That is that's a pretty good resource. I had not seen it until, obviously, I read this article. All right, so let's jump back into it. Read the book Code, The Hidden Language of Computer Hardware and Software, by Charles Petzold, recommended by Lightning Protocol engineer Lisa Nygut. I haven't read it yet, but the Amazon reviews look very promising. Yes, yes, and yes. That is why I have got that book. That book is really, really awesome from a couple of different perspectives. I very much enjoyed it. That is why I have it on the Bitcoin Survivors book list, and I definitely, definitely recommend it. You can find that at cryptoeconomy.life if you want a copy of that book. That's definitely a good one to kind of get the whole, kind of get a big overview and even some really good specifics into code, like what the whole idea of code is. It's a really fun read. So I definitely recommend it if you want to dig into that. And you can find that at cryptoeconomy.life and click on the Bitcoin Survivors book list at the top. It's got a link right to it. And that is also my affiliate link. So you'll give me a couple of, I'll get like 50 cents or some shit from it. So if you want, don't forget to go through it through my website. All right, back at it. Learn to type, www.typing.com. To get a high-level overview of operating systems from a user's perspective, get the latest For Dummies book for the operating system you're using, Linux, Mac OS, or Windows. If you have the time and inclination, have all three operating systems installed on the same or on different computers to see which you prefer and to access software that is exclusive to that operating system. Command line. As a user, you could stop here, but if you want to get technical, you'll have to get comfortable with the command line, a text-only interface where your mouse is usually useless. The command line interface, or CLI, is the opposite of what you're probably used to interacting with, the graphical user interface, GUI. I know just enough about the CLI to get by, but there are folks out there who are CLI wizards. Windows has a very different CLI from Linux and Mac OS, so I would recommend installing the Windows subsystem for Linux, WSL. It will allow you to learn the command line in a way that is generally portable to Mac OS and Linux. There are lots of guides online and documentation inside the command line itself. Christopher Allen wrote up a tutorial that is Mac OS focused. GitHub.com/Christopher A/IntroMacCommandLine. And Code Academy has an in-browser course, codeacademy.com/learn/learn-the-command-line. I highly recommend digging into the command line. I have not done it on Windows, and hearing that the Windows command line is very different from Linux and Mac OS, both of those are Unix-based, so they do have a lot of similarities. Some of the commands are not exactly the same, but they're similar enough that you can recognize which ones they are. But learning how to, I did the LFCSA course, the Systems Administration for Linux, with a focus on CentOS, rather than, I think the other one was Red Hat that you can do. Ubuntu, not Red Hat. But I did that one on linuxacademy.com, and I had a lot of, there's like this initial barrier to learning the command line that I liken to the initial barrier to learning the guitar back in like middle school or high school, whenever I did it. It was really early on. But when you're first starting out, you can't make music, so you kind of hate it, and you're like, why am I doing this? But once you can play your very first song, then it gets exciting because you're like, holy crap, this is a tool that I can use for so many things. And that's kind of what my breaking through that barrier was like with the command line. Once I started to find out that, like, anytime I had a problem with you don't have permission to move this file, or permissions are broken or something like that, or my RAM, my computer was getting slow, and like my RAM was over full, and when I would close a bunch of tabs or close a bunch of programs, there would still seem to be this extra bulk of RAM, like cache, like this there's a bunch of RAM stored in case you reopen stuff, particularly on Mac OS, in trying to anticipate what you might do again or might do next. And the fact that, like, I can run a command to just purge all of that information if I know I'm not going to open those things back up, and I can free up a lot of RAM. So there were a lot of commands that suddenly I learned, and it was like, oh, wow, I had all these real-world scenarios in which I could use these. And more importantly, learning the commands that allow you to navigate in the command line. Because at first you're like, you just have this blank thing and you're like, what the hell do I type in here? But after you learn that you can look up manual pages for each command, you can practically always type dash H or dash dash help or, you know, whatever it is with any command that you've got. Anytime I look up something now, like somebody is giving directions on how to use some specific command online, I will first do the install for whatever it is, if it's something that I don't already have on the computer. And then I immediately will just, before I write the instructions of, here's the command, here's the options that you're supposed to tag onto it, and here's the file that you're supposed to direct it to, so on and so forth, I will just take the command and open up the man page, the manual page. It's just M-A-N when you type in the command. So I'll open up that page and just read the whole thing. I won't get a lot out of it because sometimes it's too technical, or I'm reading things that I don't quite understand the wording of this command or that command. But I will pretty much skim the entire man page every single time I do it and have a better grasp of what this tool can do before I start using it. And that's a huge resource, to be able to just know a handful of commands to navigate the command line, even when you're sitting in front of a command line that you don't know what to do with. Because that's the great thing about a graphical user interface, is you can just explore. And when you first use the CLI, you feel like that's not possible. You feel like you're just in a box that there is no way out of, and you know, maybe you know how to use one command, but you're like, what the hell do I do outside of this? It just gives me an error or says failed or command not found if I just type in something random. So I definitely recommend exploring the command line. And if you just want to know anything about computers, the command line is just an amazing resource if you really dig into it. And that's probably been only like a year and a half that I've really started focusing on really learning the command line, and I do not regret it at all. It was really boring and tedious at first, but it's definitely one that I would push or urge anyone who's trying to learn this stuff further, because when you're booting up these LND or Sea Lightning things or some of these new wallets, sometimes you can only access them through the command line, or you can only get the real features of these things and start playing with them through the command line. And having that comfort, particularly in this space, I think is a huge, huge benefit that anyone hoping to do something in this space should have. So highly, highly recommended. Let's get back to it. Git. Git is a distributed version control system that is widely used in software development. I think Git is important to learn because it is used by all of the Bitcoin and Lightning projects I have encountered. Correct me if I am wrong. And technical documentation often uses Git, and it would be great if you could contribute typos, corrections, improvements, and additions upstream as you work through the docs. GitHub.com is a web service that is built on top of Git with a GUI, but Git is generally interacted with locally on your computer or laptop using the CLI. Here are resources and tutorials for getting started with Git. try.github.io. Command line plus Bitcoin plus Lightning. Give Mastering Bitcoin a close read. Amazon.com/Mastering Bitcoin. Note here, this may or may not be the book that I have a very large bit off more than I can chew project being worked on in the background, wink, wink. So I definitely also recommend get your copy of Mastering Bitcoin. You can either use its own GitHub, which he linked here. I didn't actually say read in the thing. So the book is completely open source, open license. So you can find it on GitHub. You can get it through the Amazon link he posted in there, or you can use my Amazon affiliate link, which is right on the front. Well, actually, it's on every page, I think, of cryptoeconomy.life. I've got it over in the sidebar. But hopefully, if I can continue to work my butt off, there may be something in the works regarding Mastering Bitcoin for some audio and video walkthroughs. So, yeah, that's all I'll say about that. It might be stupid to say this on the podcast and hold myself to it because it might not happen. And like I said, I may have bitten off a lot more than I can chew, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try to make this happen. Work through Programming with Bitcoin Core and Lightning by Christopher Allen. GitHub.com/Christopher A/learning Bitcoin from the command line. Link in the text. Bitcoin improvement proposals, or BIPs, are a hodgepodge, so maybe focus on the ones that seem to crop up often in your readings. I wouldn't necessarily recommend trying to sit down and reading them all from beginning to end, but here they all are. GitHub.com/Bitcoin/BIPS, so on and so forth, link in the reading. Mastering Bitcoin has a brief section on the Lightning Network. Read Joe Kinzitsky's Lightning Technical Primer. blog.usejournal.com/the Bitcoin Lightning Network, a technical primer, so on, link in the reading, recommended by Billy Garrison. The Lightning in progress specifications are here, github.com/lightningnetwork/lightning-rfc. I highly recommend carefully reading through these bolts from beginning to end, a couple of times if needed. They are, or should be, understandable for non-developers. If something is not clear, research to reword the bolt and submit a pull request. I would recommend watching the Chain Code Labs Lightning Residency video series here, youtube.com/gibberish. Read Lightning Labs overview, dev.lightning.community/overview, and work through the Lightning Labs CLI tutorial, dev.lightning.community/tutorial. If you want a lot more links about Bitcoin, blockchain, and Lightning, see Oded Liba's guide, github.com/Oliba/blockchain-getting-started. If you stopped here, you would have a very solid amount of computer experience, at least a basic understanding of the technical side of Bitcoin and Lightning, and a clear path to experimenting with other people's software. But maybe you want to write your own software. All right, so definitely go to the article specifically for this section. Obviously, what I read to you in the links is not going to translate. You're not just going to type in what I said. So go to the actual links. There is a ton of stuff there. I have not read through the bolts, and I definitely probably should have. That's probably a place that I actually could make a contribute and make a contribution and submit a pull request if I don't understand something, and I think I probably have the basis that that would actually be useful. because I'm not a developer, but I do have enough of a foundation to probably understand a lot of what's going on there. Definitely watch the Chain Code Labs Lightning Residency video. I have this video series. I have not watched the whole thing. I've watched a couple of things, but there is a ton of Lightning documentation and tutorials out there that I am just now getting to. I have a whole collection of links, and pretty much all of these listed are in this. But there is so much to dig into with this, and I definitely recommend it. It's really fun, particularly if you have a Casa node or you're running your own LND or C Lightning implementation. This is just a huge resource to be able to play with this and use this by the command line. Yet again, another great way to experiment with the command line and start getting a lot more depth and usability out of your Lightning than the graphical user interfaces make available yet. 'Cause all this stuff is still very command line, and it's just great to know it from that level, so that, you know, maybe you can write your own software or experiment with things that aren't readily visible with these new technologies and beta apps and all this stuff. So highly recommended. This section is just link after link after link, and there's tons of stuff to dig into there. So you gotta go to this actual article, drop some serious applause on it, to go through all of this stuff. Programming. I think that if you try to learn programming topics that are directly related to the most popular Bitcoin implementation, Bitcoin Core, also called Bitcoin D, then you'll probably be overwhelmed. To my knowledge, there are no smooth learning curves for learning C++. I think it's easier to learn a language like Python first, as it hides a lot of complexity and allows you to focus on mastering the basics of programming logic first. Coincidentally, the Bitcoin Core test suite is written in Python. There's a lot that has been written about learning how to code. My route was to start with Python on Codecademy, codecademy.com/learn/learn Python. My friend Michael Goldstein got started with a Ruby on Rails tutorial book written by Michael Hartle, who has lots of great free and paid resources here. www.learnenough.com, and find Hartle on Twitter here, twitter.com/mhartl. Warning: programming is a notoriously frustrating experience. You will repeatedly have errors that take you hours to figure out, and the cause was dumb, maybe a typo. Please understand that this is everyone's experience. You are not alone. Aggressively use Google early, and often when you run into errors. If you solve the problem with a Google search, think about how you could have avoided the error in the first place and how you can detect the cause and fix it without Google. This will allow you to get faster at debugging. Eventually, you'll write large amounts of code that don't have too many simple, obvious bugs. The code will just have really complicated and insidious bugs. Often, an integrated development environment, or IDE, can automatically point out problems to you, so you have decades of programmer experience helping you out. Personally, I've enjoyed using the IDE maker JetBrains over the years in all languages. For Python, they have PyCharm. The community edition is free. The pro edition is free for college students. www.jetbrains.com/PyCharm. You can also recreate a Codecademy-like environment that is web-based and highly interactive with Jupyter IPython. That's IPython, PYTHON.org. I really recommend this for rapidly iterating with experiments. If after that experience you get addicted to programming in Python like I did, check out docs.python-guide.org. I learned basic web development by following Miguel Grinberg's Flask Mega tutorial. blog.miguelgrinberg.com/post/the Flask Mega tutorial part 1 Hello World. You can probably find the same combination of interactive tutorial and simple web framework tutorial for any modern programming language. A popular programming language is JavaScript because it can be used both inside a user's web browser as well as on the server hosting the web content. Quote, full stack web development led to me learning about relational and document databases, key and value stores, message queues, concurrency, networking, etc., that are either somewhat or completely applicable to Bitcoin and Lightning programming. Having said that, you can learn all about these concepts by working on Bitcoin Lightning itself instead of unrelated web development like I did. When you become proficient and comfortable with hobbyist scripting, start challenging yourself. Whatever modern programming language you're using, there are intermediate and advanced books on topics like object-oriented and functional programming. There are also very interesting books that are generically about software architecture, code quality, development methodology, testing, and so on. You can always improve your programming chops by learning shiny new languages, reading code that is widely seen as high quality, and asking for a code review on Stack Exchange. Codereview.stackexchange.com. Programming and Bitcoin. Work through Learn Blockchains by Building One by Daniel von Flyman. HackerNoon.com/learnblockchainsbybuildingone. Experiment with James O. Barron's minimalist tiny chain. GitHub.com/JamesOB/tinychain. If you choose to learn JavaScript, you're in luck. Stephanie Roche recently wrote a very extensive guide on Bitcoin.js, github.com/BitcoinStudio/ProgrammingBitcoinWithBitcoin.js. At this point, if you want to hack inside of Bitcoin Core, you're going to have to learn C++. Alternatives are BTCD, which is written in Go and is generally considered to be easier to read, or Bcoin, which is written in JavaScript. Before you start on your C++ adventure, consider doing a detour to Rust, as it may smooth the learning curve. I learned the basics of C++ with Amazon.com C++ Primer 5th Edition by Stanley B. Lippman, a link, and also en.cppreference.com. I found it helpful to build examples using Zeus Kling, and that's X-E-U-S, I assume that's pronounced Zeus. And a link to the GitHub QuantStack Zeus Kling page, which is IPython but for C++. I found this helpful to make iteration faster than the traditional C++ environment of having to constantly recompile. Read Contributing to Bitcoin Core, a personal account by John Newberry, BitcoinTechTalk.com, Contributing to Bitcoin Core, a personal account. Read about contributing here, a GitHub.com link to the contributing.md file. Read through recent meeting notes to see what others are working on. bitcoincore.org/en/meetings. I built a website for seeing all the Bitcoin Core pull requests that can give you an idea of what's in the pipeline and how far along it is in the review process. That's BitcoinAcks, bitcoinacks.com. Programming and Bitcoin Bootcamps. Each bootcamp has a different focus. Visit their websites for topics, dates, and pricing. Jimmy Song's ProgrammingBlockchain.com, Justin Moon's Buidl Bootcamp, B-U-I-D-L Bootcamp.com, and Vortex ProgrammingWithBitcoin.com. Programming and Lightning. There are several full implementations to look at in alphabetical order. C Lightning, written in C, GitHub link to the Elements project and Lightning. Billy Garrison pointed out there is a Python example of how programming with C Lightning here, another GitHub Elements project link to lightning.py. Eclair, written in Scala, a functional programming flavor of Java. And that's at github.com/async/eclair. And then LND, written in Go. github.com/lightningnetwork/LND. Work through Andrzej Neves's in-depth guide to help you kickstart and streamline your Lightning application development workflow. medium.com link to Lightning Network development for modern applications. All right, and that will close out our article. A huge thank you to Pierre Richard for putting this list together. I am going to be using I'm going to be referring to this a lot. So if you are in that same place where I am, where you want to dig deeper into this stuff, this is going to be an invaluable resource. And that's why I wanted to cover it on the show, even though it reads a little weird because I read a lot of the links. Just go to the actual page, the Medium page, and check out all of these links so that you can hit wherever you are in this stack of learning. If you're already at trying to program with C++ and you're ready to dive into that, or if you're just still learning the hardware basics of computers and you want to get past all of the jargon in computers to really understand what you're listening to or reading, this has just got the whole list of stuff. I am really kind of at the point where I want to dig more into Lightning Network, but right now I'm trying to focus on mastering Bitcoin and getting a really, really solid understanding of that before I dig too deep into Lightning. But honestly, Lightning is one of the most exciting technologies in this whole space right now. I mean, my excitement about Lightning when I first heard about it, and as I explore it more, is just as much as my original excitement over Bitcoin. I think it's going to be an absolute game changer. And if you're not learning it, I think you're going to get left behind. So I think this is a perfect setup of a path to follow and move to be at the forefront of what's going to be most valuable and most important as we move forward with this technology. And this was just the fact that he has put this list together and it is out there. This is going to be something that I use constantly. So I personally really, really appreciate it. And I know there are going to be some people listening to this who are thinking the exact same thing and going, okay, this is the time to dive into this and really find out how to use these tools and contribute in a way that's both helpful to the project and makes me useful out in the coming explosion of finance and software that's going to be related to and around this whole ecosystem. It's already growing quickly. So time to get a head start. Take your dive, start wherever you're trying to start or wherever you feel comfortable with. But I think no matter what you do, if you start now, you're not going to be behind. You're going to be ahead of the game. Even if you were starting at hardware, it can all be learned. So many times I felt like I was digging into something that the depth of the ocean, the depth of stuff to actually cover just seemed endless, and it was so overwhelming. But I promise you, you can get past those barriers. And when you get past them, you're going to be like, how is this ever that complicated? Like, yes, there is the breadth of things that you can do is pretty extraordinary. Like it still seems overwhelming at times, because the more you learn, the more you feel like you know nothing. He said in the actual article, and it's highlighted by Zach Voll, who we've read a couple of things from him on the show, highlighted in his article, you can't know it all. That's what keeps this field interesting. And it's absolutely true. There is no It grows faster than you could possibly learn it. Even if you could learn it at the speed of just reading it and knowing it 100%, there's no way to get through it all. It's like saying you want to know everything about the economy. You just can't. What you need to do is focus. And this is a great streamlined set of start to finish, getting into Bitcoin and Lightning, and giving you a direction that after you gain a lot of this knowledge, you'll know what you're looking at more and you'll be able to guide yourself and push in a direction that you know you want to go. You'll have a basis for everything here. And I still am not a programmer. I'm working to try to get comfortable with small scripts still. both in Python and trying to make it so that I can, you know, batch rename stuff in macOS by using the command line. So I'm still very early on in this whole thing, and I am trying to get better at documenting what I'm learning and then turning around and hoping to teach it to other people, because honestly, this has been one of the biggest things that I learned about this podcast is that it's one thing to read an article, but it's another thing entirely to read it slowly and out loud and hit the parts. Make sure you've got the right emphasis so that you're not just brain numbing your way through the paragraph and reading the words without knowing what it actually says. You get the emphasis right and you know what it means that you're reading. And doing it in a way that you hope that someone else can understand it. Teaching something else is the best way to learn it. And this podcast has taught that to me I always knew it, you know, it's something that, you know, well, you always hear that teaching is the best way to learn. But the experience that I have gotten from this podcast and from trying to dig into this and starting to make videos makes it known on a level that only experience can teach you. So I hope you guys take this journey with me, and I hope to have something, I hope to get into more about teaching and really digging into this stuff as we move forward. Now that we've kind of hit a couple of milestones with this podcast, I want to start taking it in a different route, or at least my work in a different route. I don't really want the podcast will still be the podcast as long as I can continue it and I have the time to do this. I hope you guys stick with me. And if you're trying to do this, if you're taking that dive and you really want to get into this and be at the forefront of this as we move forward and this entire ecosystem is being built and people are needed to operate these things to troubleshoot what's going on with Lightning channels or a Bitcoin payment, to be able to look at a script and know what you're dealing with and even how to write a custom script or a custom stack of a Bitcoin a transaction and like a very complex agreement of some sort, I hope to be useful in that regard. So this one, this was a really short article, but it ended up being very long because I blab about all this stuff, and this has been something that's very important to me and has been very much what I have been working on, and I want to be useful in this way. I want to be able to kind of help other people take this journey. So I'm going to try to have my whole journey online and accessible to you guys. And with that, don't forget to follow me on Twitter at The Crypto Economy. Check out cryptoeconomy.life. I've got all my social media up there. And I officially started a Facebook page. Ugh, gross. I know. I really hate Facebook. But honestly, at some point you have to capitulate and you have to put up a Facebook thing. And I couldn't get my Instagram to post automatically without confirming my Facebook identity. So nasty, but I'm going to have it as a closed group, and just so that we can contact and get in touch. I'm going to figure out how to make it so that I can invite you guys to it. I'm Kevin Swan on Facebook. That's my real name is Kevin. Guy Swan is my pen name. If you want to find me up there, I'm going to figure out. I hadn't figured out how I'm going to do invites and all that set up yet. I'm working on getting members to the cryptoeconomy.life website, but I think all my hosting and stuff is going to have to change first. So a lot of stuff in the works. Stick with me. Don't forget to follow me. Do not forget to check out the page and drop some serious applause on Pierre Richard's Medium page for this post. Save it in your bookmarks. Go to this constantly. Use this as your guide for walking through learning Bitcoin and Lightning and the command line and everything you're going to need to know to be at the forefront of this. And like I said, don't forget to drop some applause. And of course, follow Pierre Richard. That's Pierre_Rochard, Rochard, at Twitter. I will tag him in the post and link to all of his stuff. So you can check that out in the show notes. Outside of that, if you would like to donate to the show, I've got my Casa Node Bitcoin address available. Anything you send there, I am going to have to open up and add liquidity to Lightning channels and opening more channels. So thank you to the handful of donations I got recently that I was not paying attention to. And thank you for anyone else who does that. So don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and leave me some feedback if you're enjoying the show. We have a lot of exciting stuff coming. And we are right around the corner from a 100,000 download milestone. Very, very exciting week for the crypto economy life. Don't forget to check out the website, cryptoeconomy.life. I'll catch you all back here tomorrow with another episode of the Crypto Economy Podcast. All right, guys, until next time, take it easy.